Turn please to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, we read from verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, Zacharias' lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Acts chapter 23. Book of the Acts and chapter 23, reading from verse 6. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the life and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. The word angel comes from the Greek angelos, meaning a messenger. And we read of men who are messengers, angels sent to the churches, detailed by them to carry forward gifts, the offerings of the different companies of saints. But we think of angels more generally as those who are messengers of God, those who are sent of Him. And we want to consider a few things about angels, firstly their nature and their number, and then something about their might and their ministry. Their nature, they are created beings. Read concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, that by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. We read of the anointed cherub in Ezekiel 28, that he was perfect in the day in which he was created. It was by the power and fear of God that angels were created. And as creatures, they're not to be worshipped. We read in the Colossian epistle that there was some interest amongst the believers and there were those who were teaching them that they should give homage to angels as intermediaries between the exalted Christ and themselves, those who were to take an intermediate position. Now, they were not to give themselves over to a voluntary worshipping of angels. Remember when John received the book of the Revelation, the disclosure of God's future purposes, he bowed down before the angel that disclosed these things to him. And the angel said, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and one who was associated with the prophets and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so they are created beings, and they are spirit beings. We read in Hebrews chapter 1, in that great contrast that's drawn between the angels and the superior place and person of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And so they are spirits, and as such not corporeal, they don't have a body. But we do read of those occasions in the scriptures where they assume one, and they fear they appear in human form. some of the angelic beings, as we think of them, are termed evil spirits or wicked spirits. And we gather from the scriptures that they were associated with Satan and his fall in rebellion against the authority of God. When Paul looks to what might separate believers from the love of God, which is in Christ, he writes the very things that he lists are principalities and powers. And there are evil spirits at work, and with different ranks and orders and authorities, but none of these things can separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We read of the Lord Jesus in the days of his public ministry that he cast out the spirits with his word. There were those evil spirits who possessed those who were given over to them, and they were helpless, but he cast them out with his word. And he had authority over them, not only in creation, but in their mode of being. Now, as regards the angels, created spirits, they are rational and intelligent beings. We read concerning them that they are greater than man in power and might, and their position, their nature. And yet they do not know everything, and they desire to look into the things that concern God's ways with his people on earth. In regard to the church, that the angels learn by the church the ways of God, the purposes of God. And as regards our salvation, Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 that the prophet spoke of it, has now come to us, but the angels desire to look into it. They have a vested interest, and they have an intelligent interest in the ways of God and his people. And then also in regard to the angels, we know that immortal, they're not reproducing. The Lord Jesus spoke to the Sadducees and he said that in the resurrection, they're not male or female, there's no reproduction, there's no increase in the number, but they are as the angels of God. And there's no marrying or giving in marriage, and so the number of the angels is something that remains the same. When we think further about the number, we read in Psalm 68 that the chariots of God are 20,000. Even thousands of angels, and the Lord is among them at Sinai. We read in Psalm 103 and Psalm 148 of the hosts of God, and that the Lord is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And the psalmist calls on the hosts of heaven to praise the Lord. The hosts, the number of them, the number that are at God's disposal to do his bidding. In Matthew chapter 26, we read of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He allowed himself to be taken. And yet he said that there were at his father's right hand more than 12 legions of angels which had come to his aid. There were more than 12 legions of angels at his father's right hand standing by. But he turned his back on the legions of angels and went on to the cross to die. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that we are come to Mount Zion, to an innumerable company of angels, the General Assembly. And the number is so great that we can't add them up. In Revelation chapter 5, we read of the many angels about the throne. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Again, in Daniel chapter 7, we have the Son of Man, run like unto the Son of Man, brought before the Ancient of Days. And thousands ministered unto him. And there were thousands before him. And so there are very many. The number of the angels, perhaps in one or two scriptures, is likened to the number of the stars. How many stars are there? We're told that in the galaxy of the Milky Way is something like one with 11 more stars. And beyond this galaxy, there are other galaxies, and the number of them is similar to the number of stars in the Milky Way. The number is so large, we can't contemplate them. But God has, in his creatorial grandeur, created many angels that do his bidding. We find that angels are termed at different places the sons of God, as we have them in Job. They are spirits, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation, Hebrews chapter 1. They are called saints, as holy ones, and also we have the term in Daniel of those who are watchers, watchers of holy ones, observing what took place and coming to do the will of God in regard to what they saw. Let me read of names in regard to different orders or ranks of angels. We read of the cherubim, and we are introduced to them first of all in Genesis chapter 3. We have more detailed description of them in Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 10. And then we have similarities to the living creatures surrounding the throne in Revelation 4 and 5. We read of Satan. He's in Ezekiel chapter 48, the anointed cherub that covered. And amongst the stones of God, the display of his glory, Satan originally was there, but he fell from that first estate. We read of the principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. There are orders and ranks amongst the angel beings. We read in Revelation chapter 12 of Michael and his angels. And they were engaged in warfare and battle against Satan and his. And then we read in Luke chapter 1 of the angel Gabriel, the messenger of God, who was sent to both Zacharias and later Mary to give the information of the coming Messiah and how God's purposes and blessing would be fulfilled through him. We think of the might of angels. In Psalm 103, we read of angels that excel in strength. Their capabilities are greater than those of men. And we read of a very strong angel who came down from heaven, rolled away the stone, and showed that the tomb was empty, and sat upon it as an indication of the accomplishment of God's purposes in resurrection. Work was done. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we read of the Lord Jesus coming with the angels of his might in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see angels as having capabilities which are greater than those that we experience, and they are there to do the bidding of God. We look at, think a little bit about their ministry. First of all, they are worshippers. Those who are the elect angels, those that are chosen of God, those that have remained faithful to him, they bow and worship before him. And in this, we learn a lesson. The psalmist could call upon the angelic hosts, the sun, moon, and stars, and all creation, to bow in acknowledgement of the glory and grandeur of the Creator. And we're called to join with angels in such an expression of worship. And then there are messengers. The angels are messengers sent of God to do his will. We think of Jacob's experience at Bethel, how he slept, and in his sleep he dreamed a dream. And in the dream there was that staircase that went up even to heaven. and the Lord stood above it, and the angels of God ascended and descended, doing the will of God. And Jacob was to learn from that, that God had a ministry through angelic hosts concerning him. They were coming down to where he was. But Jacob was fearful. I wist not that God was in this place. Surely this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. But Jacob was to learn that the angel of God is everywhere and able to meet him in his need. Later on, when we come to chapter 32 of the book of Genesis, and Jacob is on his way back, he's parted from Laban. He's travelling with his family and all the animals that he's gained, but he was with Laban. And he's going back to his home country, but he has to leave Esau. And he came to a place, and the angels of God met him. And Jacob should have been assured by that, that God was still taking note of him, and of his circumstances, and of the dangers that he faced. And Jacob called that place Mahanaim, which means two hosts. He was the host of God, and he was Jacob's company. And then he sends away messengers to Esau, and they come back saying that Esau is coming and 400 men with him. And Jacob's heart fails, and he schemes, and he arranges his present to go before him to quell the terror of Esau. But all was unnecessary because the angels of God met him, and that should have been his trust. Many times we read of angels and their activity, particularly at the start and the end of different dispensations. And so when our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, we find Gabriel comes to Zacharias, to Mary. The angel comes to the shepherds of the field. The angel comes later to Cornelius and tells him that his arms are held in remembrance before God and his prayer has come up to him. Then we see angels too as visitants for blessing or judgment. They're doing the will of God. They're sent of him. We think of Hagar as she was sent out into the desert and the water failed, and yet the angel directed her vision to the source of supply. And we have a fulfillment of the Psalm 91. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And that is particularly true of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet it's true of his people. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him. Then the angels are observers, the watchers and holy ones. Paul recognized that in his ministry and service, not only was it before God and our Lord Jesus Christ, but the elect angels. And he says, we the apostles are set forth last, as if we were going into the arena, as the last of the gladiators, the final ones to fight. We are made a spectacle, a theatre, unto angels and to men. The angels will observe the ways and the responses of the people of God. We have mention of the elect angels in 1 Timothy. Again, the angels learn from the order in the church, as we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we think of the angels as the sharers in the divine joy. When a sinner is converted, there is joy in heaven. There is joy in the presence of God. There is joy in the presence of the angels, with one sinner that is converted. And all heaven shares in the consequences of the work of Calvary when sinners are brought in, passing from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God. And then we see them too as carers and protectors. We think of Peter in the prison, and how, just as it seemed at the last moment, the angel of God came to him, touched him on the shoulder, said, get up, and led him out. And he was released. And Peter could hardly be convinced that what was happening was really God's work. And he came to himself and realized that he'd been delivered. Again, we think of the occasion in, as we have it recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha was disclosing to the king of Israel what was happening when the king of Syria came against him. And the king of Syria sought to capture Elisha, do away with him. And he came to Dothan. And it was known to the king of Syria that Elisha was there. And in the morning, Elisha's servant got up and they were totally surrounded by the armies of the Syrians. Alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha could say, Lord, open thou the young man's eyes. And when his eyes were opened, he saw that the hills around the Elisha were filled with chariots and angels of fire. The Lord encampeth round about those who fear him. And just a final thought about the angels. And as in the ministry, ministers are those who shall be heirs of salvation. When the beggar died in Luke 16, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. He went up. The passage through death wasn't something that was unaccompanied in the life. He was carried by the angels. And when our Lord Jesus Christ went up, we'll be thinking of the perfect servant. That's Mark's gospel. At the end of the gospel, he was received up and sat on the right hand of God. In Luke's gospel, the gospel of the perfect yet dependent man, he was carried up. He went up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, he was taken up, but he was carried up in Luke's gospel. That's how the gospel finishes. He was carried up. And could it not be that angels were in attendance when the Lord of glory, after his perfect path on earth, was taken up into the sphere from which he had come to sit at the right hand?